This is Future Tense for September 1st, 2010. I'm Steve Henn, in for John Moe. BlackBerry's reportedly cut a deal with security officials in India, allowing them access to email and data sent using BlackBerry's network. But the Indian government isn't done yet. It's now applying pressure to some other high-tech players. Indian officials say they're exploring ways to track the contents of conversations on Google's video chat service and on Skype. This spat is just the latest international dispute over internet privacy. So Fred Kate is joining us now. He's a law professor at Indiana University. He specializes in privacy and security. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about whether or not we know what it is exactly that these security services want. What are they after?
Well, I think the answer is we know some and we probably don't know all. So, for example, in the case of India, what they have asked for would allow them access to everyone's communication. So in other words, they've not raised the situation where they present a warrant. They've said they want access to the entire set of information and they don't want them encrypted unless they have the keys to decrypt them.
So can you give me examples of how what is being proposed in India can create problems?
Well, yes. I mean, frankly, one of the striking things about India is how public this dispute has been. So I think what we have to assume is that not every government is as straightforward or as open about saying we want access to information and this is how we're going to get it. So you could imagine the problem in governments where you might expect corporate espionage to be intermingled with security services. This is something we've worried a great deal about with the border searches of laptops. So in the U.S. and elsewhere, the government maintains the right to not merely examine your laptop, but to copy all of the data on it for further use. Well, most of us use our laptops to then access corporate or academic or government networks. If you can copy everything on the laptop, you're going to also get the keys to those networks and therefore have this sort of vicious cycle where you get access to more and more data.
So this isn't just a problem in India. It's a problem globally.
It is a problem around the world.
How much is our own government collecting about us right now?
If communications either start or end outside of the U.S., there's pretty good evidence that the NSA gets access to them. Now, that doesn't mean they actually listen to them or read them or decode them, but it means they have them if they want to. Second of all, although RIM has made a big point out of saying, look, we don't give the decryption information to any government, I think it's widely believed on pretty good evidence that the NSA already has the ability to decrypt many forms of encrypted communication.
So it sounds like there's a huge amount of data that our own government's already collecting. Are they really able to process that effectively?
I think the answer is that a great deal of the information is not effectively processed. And this takes us back even to the attacks of 9/11 and the 9/11 Commission report, which, you know, began using that metaphor that there wasn't a shortage of dots, it was an inability to connect the dots. And I think that's still very likely to be the case.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Other stories we're following at futuretense.publicradio.org. This week, Oxford University Press announced it's just too expensive to keep printing the OED. The 150-pound, 20-volume Oxford English Dictionary is disappearing. The next complete edition of the dictionary will be available only online. The updated OED attempts to catalog every conceivable word in the English language, including Scrabble lover's cat, spelled Q-A-T, and more recently, the verb Google. We're also following Apple's announcements today about new offerings in the iUniverse. Speaking of Apple, our producer Julia Barton's in the studio now, and I see you brought your iPhone with you. So what have you got for us?
Steve, it's the iStethoscope.
How does it work?
You just place that internal mic against your chest.
What, you mean like this? Okay, I sound like a robot.
It's your heart beating.
So who made that and why?
It was a British researcher, Peter J. Bentley, who developed it to help cardiologists. And you can shake the phone and get a spectrogram. It's your heartbeat in visual form.
Ah, so kind of like a visual heart signature.
Yes, and Apple's aware that our heartbeats are particular. The company recently filed a patent application for technology that could someday tag each iPhone to an individual's heartbeat.
Kind of like a biometric identifier, so I'd need your heartbeat to borrow your iPhone?
Speaking of that, can I have my phone back now?
No. You can see more at our website, futuretense.publicradio.org. I'm Steve Henn, in for John Moe. This is Future Tense.